Welcome to Activation Energy by the Chemical Angel Network. I'm your host, Selma Duhovic. In this episode, I speak with Tyler Ellison, the CEO of ChemDirect, which is the leading all-in-one chemical marketplace. Tyler has a law degree and a master's of engineering, and before founding ChemDirect, he was the CEO of Nova Molecular for 18 years. Tyler, welcome. It's good to see you. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
I'd like to first cover your background. How did you go from law school to the chemical industry?
Sure. So education, I got a law degree and practiced law for a few years, got a master's in engineering from Georgia Tech, and really started my career various logistics. So dove into supply chain technology, and then been a director at a chemical company for about 20 years, and then eventually led Nova Molecular as CEO. And it was really that experience that was the genesis to start digitizing via ChemDirect.
For those of us who have never heard of Nova Molecular, what is it?
Yeah, Nova Molecular is a supplier of acetonitrile and various solvents, tech grade. They're one of the larger domestic manufacturers of acetonitrile in America, privately held, based in South Carolina.
Let's talk about logistics and supply chains. What is special and unique about those in the chemical industry?
Yes, I think the uniqueness of the chemical supply chain really is how different each of the supply chains are. So there's really not one supply chain. When you look at it, it really varies by chemistry. It varies by origin source. It varies by raw material and the quality standards throughout. So the supply chains are I think, extraordinarily complex. And the variances and variability of the chemical supply chain is unique relative to others. So if you think about products that can't be shipped together, you think about the modal specifics of certain chemistries that have to or cannot fly in a certain mode, it does create layered complexity. So when I look at supply chains, you have the physical supply chain. And I think the biggest opportunity and gaps really is in the digital part of the supply chain and the information. And I think there's just fundamental disconnects between, consumer demand and forecasting information, production planning, all the way to material sourcing. And I think there's major blind spots and holes in the digital supply chain, not necessarily the physical, but I don't think there's visibility and I don't think there's the bi-directional data to make both the manufacturer and customer and inventory levels run as efficiently as possible.
How fragmented is the chemical supply chain and who are all the players?
Yeah, so if you look at it's extraordinarily fragmented, particularly when you look at the tanker size market in North America, extraordinarily fragmented. And that again can be a technology application to efficiently aggregate the providers, the transportation providers. And I would say even on the offshore sourcing and shipping is also very fragmented. So you have fragmented sections meeting fragmented sections, all with different systems. And so you think about having that information and digital tie that binds throughout the supply chain, that creates another challenge to do that.
Let's talk more about the challenges that exist within, in terms of safety, efficiency, volatility, and so on.
Let's start with volatility. Volatility, I believe, starts with poor information. So, the whole supply chain really is triggered by demand. And, being in this industry in the manufacturing segment, I would say the accuracy of information on the demand side from your core customers is lacking, right? So that's the trigger that sets your orders in motion from, raw material and sourcing all the way through the supply chain. So it starts with demand planning. And then whatever gaps you have in that information are going to manifest themselves in your raw material sourcing. So you have your best guess over the raw materials. Then your raw material sourcing, if there's variability in that, the assumptions that you make in raw material sourcing informs your production planning. And so you take variability plus variability, and then you have production planning, and then all of those meet to create either an inventory gap or a supply shortfall. So all of those variabilities clumped together is what creates that dynamic. And the pandemic made all those variabilities much more pronounced, which created the gaps that frankly, we're still digging out of, right? So right now you look at, all the publicly stated earnings of these companies, and they're still destocking because they didn't know what the end of the pandemic was. They didn't have a very accurate read on demand. And so now everybody's swimming in excess inventory and destocking, which is artificially lowering demand now, right? So I think we may go from ditch to ditch where nobody's buying because everybody's has excess inventory, to the inventory's gone and now they can't keep up with demand. So, you know, I think our industry has a long way to go to share information to stop the supply and demand pendulum from swinging ditch to ditch as it does today.
So earlier you mentioned digitalization and described what's needed to get there. On the road to that destination, what technical challenges and barriers are you seeing?
You know, I think when you start that digital journey in a very old, mature industry, like the chemical industry, it does present challenge. One I would start with is data quality and consistency. And so, you know, even as advanced as the manufacturers and molecular development can be within companies, the lack of investment in data quality and technology makes it a challenge to digitize, right? So that's challenge number one. Challenge number two is I would say price transparency. This industry is operated, you know, with, you know, relative opacity in sharing price. And so you have this sort of black box in the value chain of nobody wants to share what their raw materials cost. Nobody wants to share what they're selling. And distribution plays a key role in that. So to digitize effectively, you do need a level of transparency that's relatively new to this industry. And I'd say the third would be just general tech adoption, right? So, you know, everybody, and there's generational components to that, but everybody, you know, falls differently on the generational curve on where they are from, you know, tech native to completely analog. And so meeting your suppliers and customers where they are is very important. That said, you know, there are generational tailwinds that, you know, we're seeing tech natives become, you know, procurement leaders and are much more comfortable and almost have a B2C expectation for technology and value data and information differently than the generations prior.
Are there any regulatory barriers to this?
Yeah, you know, I think the regulatory challenges are actually mitigated by digitizing, right? And so everything can and should be digitized, and you can create tables and use AI to make sure you're absolutely compliant. So I actually think you de-risk regulatory with digital.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let's talk about ChemDirect now. So ChemDirect is leading the way in this area. For those who are not familiar with the company and the platform, can you describe what it is and what its offerings are?
So ChemDirect, you know, initially began as a point, click, and buy marketplace. And one of the things that we invested heavily from the start is understanding the criticality in our industry of fulfillment and logistics. So ensuring that we had that embedded in the platform, we think is important for both the supplier and the customer. So you can't really have a true digital experience if the buying part is digital and the transportation part's analog, where you have to pick up the phone. So we did the heavy lift early on to say, we're going to, at the point of sale at checkout, have the transportation costs and the landed costs, which are important in our industry, totally digitized. So our platform started really focused on the life science vertical with ChemShip, which is our logistics component. And we've methodically gone, you know, vertical by vertical, including personal care, some industrial verticals, and get enough liquidity and relevance in each before we move on to the next vertical. We also have ChemPay and recognize, you know, the importance of financing for a lot of our customers. And so we have a financing component that allows terms and qualification at point of sale as well. And we also developed, at the request of more the larger producers that are suppliers, ChemExchange. So ChemExchange is really tank size chemicals or above. So like the major producers wanted a more efficient way. And buying bulk size chemicals can take weeks. And there's a lot of back and forth information that could and should be digitized. So you can list on the you can list your supply and you can list what you're looking to buy. And we marry up the supply and demand markets in a digital fashion. And that's ChemExchange. So ChemDirect is small quantity point click and buy. ChemExchange is large production level orders of chemicals, and then ChemShip and ChemPay.
When was it founded?
We launched really a month prior to COVID.
And what was going on in your head a year or two before you founded the company?
Yeah, so it was really, you know, coming out of a very information rich background. You know, it was remarkable to me, Selma, that as a major manufacturer of certain chemicals, you walk in and you say, okay, what are the end use applications? Can we talk to our customers? And, you know, our salespeople are like, we really don't know who our customers are. And then you look at the value chain and it's being sold to all these distributors. We have no end market insights, right? No other, what are adjacent products or companion products that our customers use that we can create or produce? So you had this blind market meeting, you know, this manufacturers, right? So if you digitize that process, there are things that in that value chain that should be skipped that enables that that critical information to get back to the supplier on quality, application use, all of those things were void. So it was my frustration as a CEO of a chemical company to say, you know, we should know more and we want to hear the voice of the customer. And if we make these digital connections, we can serve them, you know, in a much more direct fashion, with much stronger bidirectional information flow.
And how big is the team now? And how much money have you raised so far?
Yeah, our team is about 18. We've 18 people, and we have some outsourced tech. So that would be, you know, bigger if we counted the outsourced tech. We've raised about $10 million to date.
Earlier, you mentioned that you're targeting the life science market. Is that only in the US? And is it only the industry, or are you also targeting academia or even national labs?
Yeah, so the geography, we're focused on North America. We do have some global supply from a supplier standpoint. And, you know, our focus is really on labs, and we do serve government labs. We do serve major research universities. We serve hospitals. So the advantage that we've found is not only the transparency, but the speed of fulfillment. So if you're a bench chemist, you know, or in a lab, you don't have a lot of safety stock room. Like you can't get tankers and totes of product that you need. So our average order to fulfillment time is 3 days. And the ability to point, click, and buy and have subscriptions and you know, already have your qualified chemicals in a catalog is important. So we're growing quickly, and I think our market serves that very well.
How many suppliers do you have on board at this point?
About 140 suppliers.
You know, the startup world is fraught with challenges. I used to do operations and business development at Cobotix, and I've talked to hundreds of startups in my role at Propelix. And the journey, honestly, is discouragingly filled with barriers. It's just barrier after barrier, and it feels endless. You mentioned earlier adoption as being one of those. Can you elaborate, and are there any other ones?
I'd say early on, one of the challenges, you know, being a first mover in this space is establishing trust. You know, chemicals aren't socks or shoes, right? So buying chemicals online was such a new experience that establishing trust was important out of the gate. So, you know, what that implied for us was accuracy of information. Like you cannot have one piece of information wrong or you lose trust out of the gate. So we had a very high standard for ourselves that this industry needs to have trust engendered at every step. And so once you establish that trust, we see order patterns and order flows get much bigger. But everybody at first was kind of going in, you know, dipping a toe in and saying, can you really buy these things online? Is this a trusted source? And so once that trust is established and we continue to build on that trust, that was probably the biggest challenge, being first point, click, and buy market.
Moving forward, what opportunities do you see?
Yeah, you know, I think the opportunities and risks are pretty close. So I think I'm super excited about what AI can bring to the table, you know, and AI, I think, you know, there's offensive and defensive things to look at with AI. So I think that AI goes into big opportunity as well as a risk. And I think all businesses will have some form or shape of both of those. And I think the, you know, the other additional challenges as we scale is just volume related. So our suppliers, you know, we're getting to a size where they may not have, you know, the supply chain capability to be able to keep up with the order flow. So layering in services that may be able to do that or support our supplier base will be a challenge, certainly, that we're going to have to address in a digital way. So downpacking, co-packing, or they have one person doing, you know, their fulfillment in the back room, but if they get 100 orders a day, they don't have the infrastructure to support that.
Can you elaborate on artificial intelligence and machine learning? Is ChemDirect leveraging it?
Yeah, we do pretty extensively. And so we've invested heavily, and it really falls into two categories. Some of one is generative AI. So, you know, one pivotal challenge we faced is really, and I mentioned this before, is the scarcity and quality of data for the site coming from the supplier. So that impacts search engine optimization and the user experience pretty significantly. So our recent achievement involves blending generative AI with our data and then facilitating extraction, really reformatting and enriching our catalog with kind of precise chemical information about the products. Then we pair this AI with traditional data processing, and this leads to much better attribute completeness in our data set. So that's one on the generative side. The other one is, and I mentioned this, is sort of the ubiquitous issue of search in e-commerce. So often extracting keyword matching limits the search results. So if you think about our industry, so many abbreviations. You know, I mentioned acetonitrile. So if somebody says ACN, you have to have that abbreviation in your search. And compounds, you know, the names of compounds can vary from application to application. So we started generating, using AI to generate variations of product names, the traditional keyword matching. This allows users to find the products they need regardless of the terminology that they use. So that's, again, generative AI. And then non-generative, its second solution is to search, involves neural search. So leveraging context-aware AI and our in-house AI search engine, currently in testing, will soon enable, you know, users to find products based on the context of their queries, regardless of complexity.
So AI in general depends on the quantity and the quality of available data, but also on the efficiency of the algorithms themselves. Are you using proprietary or off-the-shelf algorithms?
We use both, but we have quite a few proprietary. And the other two areas that we're using it in is the catalog and using AI, non-generative AI. As you know, the parent-child relationships in chemistry are very complex. And so how do we develop the groups together? And we use AI to do that. And so that A, engenders trust, B, it illustrates potential product gaps that we have in those hierarchies. And then, you know, the last area that we use it in, Selma, is pricing. So again, in an industry that's not overly transparent in pricing, you know, we have software and development that will track product prices across the industry and then automatically assess where we fall in those rankings and facilitate kind of data-driven decisions on our part.
Can you articulate how ChemDirect is different from the incumbents who are trying to do the same thing but already have the customers?
Yeah. So, you know, I would say a few things that separate ChemDirect. One is, in general, the word marketplace is overused definitionally. And so implied in a marketplace is the ability to purchase. There's a lot of marketplaces that really stop at discovery. And so you can discover it, and then they facilitate the handoff between the supplier and the buyer. So to me, that's not a marketplace, because you actually can't purchase in the same experience. It's purely facilitatory. And then, you know, and the other, I think, advantage we have is we are neutral. So if you look at the incumbents, you know, by definition, their business models don't allow them to be neutral. I mean, they're not going to be putting competitor products on their site. So we think there's appeal to, you know, again, back to trust of having somebody come in, and we'll show prices from all suppliers, and we don't bias anything in the discovery or purchase pattern, where incumbents that have a physical business model supported by marketplaces obviously have to have strong biases for their own product.
And what about the other startups? How are you different from those?
In comparison to other startups, the other startups tend to not have the entire purchase experience done. So they either have discovery or a segment of that. So we've got the holistic purchase experience in logistics and fulfillment and financing.
Last question. Where do you envision ChemDirect in 10 years?
You know, I don't spend a ton of calories thinking of that vision, because it's really, at the end of the day, informed by what our vision is for our suppliers and customers are. And, you know, that's evolving and it's never static, right? So the beauty of a marketplace where we don't hold inventory is we can adjust very, very quickly to what the market needs and demands are. And so I guess in general, what I'd like to be is the, you know, the first place people go to, you know, when they want a trusted experience, and we have 630,000 products and growing in our catalog, that it's a trusted experience that they can discover, buy, and have it at their doorstep in a B2C way, and have real-time inventory, and just be that trusted platform for our industry would be my broad vision. And as far as the specifics, again, that's going to be informed by our suppliers and customers as we continue to grow.
This was very informative, especially to me as a research chemist. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your insight with me, Tyler.
Thanks, Selma, for having me. I appreciate it.